You are listening to Documentally.com, documenting the mind.
They call him crazy and they call him fool. They greet his name with ridicule. He says things that they don't like. Don't dismiss Mr. Ike. Let them curse and the puffin blow. They do not know what they do not know. The truth is like a lightning strike. Don't dismiss Mr. Ike. Before the protests flood your throat, take a look at the book he wrote. It won't take up much of your time. Could change your life or even your mind. His taste in tracksuits may be bland, and the wisdom may outweigh the man. And his predictions may be shite, but don't dismiss Mr. Ike. I'm not saying he's the king, and he himself claims no such thing. He said we all are points of light, and you know what? I think he's right. So friends and neighbors, far and near, don't be swayed by lies and smears. Let them call him what they like, but don't dismiss Mr. Ike. Don't dismiss Mr. Ike.
You are listening to Documentally.com. Episode 14. Hello and welcome to the Documentally podcast. If this is the first time you've stopped by, then please take time to check out my other episodes. If you're a regular to the program, I'd like to say thank you. But also that in the spirit of evolvement and progression, I'll be deviating from my normal podcast format and playing some clips of a lecture I was asked to document a few weeks back. The speaker was David Icke, and you may well have heard of him before. After all, he's world famous, and if you want to know about his past as a soccer goalie or a successful sports commentator, then all the info you could possibly want is on wikipedia.com. Personally, I'd just like to offer a glimpse into the incredible six-hour lectures that David Icke gives to his audiences around the world. I can't believe that anybody could stand up there and talk and keep people pretty much gripped for 6 hours plus sometimes. You may have come to this podcast with a preconceived opinion of Mr. Ike. To that I say, fair enough, maybe he rubs you up the wrong way. Just remember, for the last 16 years, David Icke has been a full-time investigator. His research is incredibly eclectic, and most of the same information can be found coming from other speakers around the world. Although he is credited with coining many original phrases, the information he imparts is available from loads of other places, just perhaps not so concentrated as it is in his books and DVDs. In his own words, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. As his talks delve into secret societies and apocalyptic conspiracies, it's hardly surprising large numbers of people are willing to engage in sweeping generalisations and demonisations of David Icke without even the most general knowledge of who he is or what he writes about. If people really insist on judging Icke, then the least they could do is read one of his books. There's about 20 or so publications out there, so plenty to choose from. So let us take a peek into London's Brixton Academy, a venue housing thousands ready to hear what David Icke has to say. It's only a peek, as Mr. Icke's talks are incredibly visual, and I've had to edit heavily, as without the pictures and illustrations, much of the jokes and what he's trying to say are quite difficult to follow. If you want the complete picture, then you can always get hold of his DVD from his website soon, www.davidicke.com. Icke is spelt I-C-K-E. Okay, without further ado, let's take a look inside.
You are listening to Documentally. Hello and welcome everybody to the Brixton Academy. I just quickly like to go through the running order for the rest of the day. David will speak for about 2 hours until 3 o'clock, and we'll have a half an hour break until 3:30. He will then start speaking again for another 2.5 hours until 6. We will then take a 1 hour break. At 7, he will resume and then go on until the end of the day. At this point, I was going to come out with all sorts of words like how I've known David for 35 years and how he's given the last 15 to researching all that he writes and talks about. But to be quite honest with you, you've not come here to hear or see me, so there's no more to be said, and I would like to say welcome, David Icke.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I remember when I was speaking in little halls, putting the chairs out, no bugger sat in them. And then I put the chairs back, and I left poorer than when I arrived, and someone said in one question and answer, where's all the money going? I said, down the sodding drain, mate, that's where it's going. Because in those days, no one wanted to know, now look at it. And this is not about me, this is about the information. This is about people waking up from the hypnotic trance that we'll get into in the latter part of the talk, which is holding us in servitude. And now, and someone said an hour or so ago, there's a fantastic number of young people coming in. And that's amazing because this is their world that we are going to pass on, not the Big Brother state, but a world in which the people have awakened and the few no longer go on dictating to the many in their various ways of manipulation. So today is about talking about how it's done, where it's come from, which is an important part of knowing where we are. And then in the last part, the most important part, looking at the nature of reality itself. Because without that coordinate, who are we? What is this reality? How are we creating it? Without that coordinate, we can't possibly be free. Because we're completely bewildered of the world we actually live in. And that's why that information has been suppressed throughout thousands of years. And it's amazing if you push on with what you feel is right. Even though you might feel you're in a minority of one when you start, he's bloody mad, he wears them shell suits. Gone bloody crackers he has. Much better on the snooker. But if you keep going, it's kind of an interesting thing. If you keep putting one foot in front of the other and in front of the other, you actually get somewhere. It's not always where you'd really like to go, but you get somewhere. Instead of standing there, oh, I mustn't do anything. Oh, no, don't call me mad. I don't give a shit if you call me mad. This is me, and this is all I can be. And you actually get somewhere, and you start to see that you don't have to follow the sheep in front. You can express your own uniqueness. Even if you are in a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. Wonderful saying. And it's when people say, but everyone knows that, mate. Like this, well, everyone knows the earth's flat, mate. Well, here's one less than everyone. I don't know that. And again, we follow the herd instead of standing up for what we believe is right. We're not always right, but it's what we believe is right. And when you start to do that and you start to lift your head and look beyond the norm, you find that so many things in the world that appear on first hearing to be, oh, that's a bit bizarre and extreme, isn't it? Turn out to be elephants in the living room. staring us in the face. It's obvious. But as we'll get to in the last part of the talk, it's only obvious if we can break out the programming that tells us it's not obvious, that tells us black is white and white is black. The key thing, and this is what I'm going to be doing today, is connecting dots. When I started researching this from the early 90s, I was staggered at how many different areas of subject I was being pulled into to understand what was happening in the world. And on the news, you get the dots. You don't even get what's really happening in the bloody dots, to be honest. But they cover the dots. When you start connecting them, different people and organizations and events that appear on the surface to be completely unconnected, whoa, there's suddenly a picture that makes perfect sense of the world, whereas it didn't before. This is a famous quote. All truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as self-evident. Oh, I always thought that Ike bloke was talking sense. I did, honest. What, when you were saying he was mad? Yeah, I wouldn't mean it. And the thing is, all truth is an exaggeration, but a lot of truth goes through this sequence. And the point is, unless you accept the ridicule when you first talk about it, and therefore keep talking about it, unless you accept the condemnation and other opposition and keep talking about it, you never get to stage three where it's accepted as self-evident. And this is the challenge when we're talking about things that are not accepted by the mainstream. Keep talking, keep giving it out, no matter what the reaction, and then eventually the reaction changes because it becomes self-evident. Now, here's an elephant in the living room. I love this one. Anyone can become president of the United States. Okay, let me give you that. Let me just rephrase that. Anyone who hasn't got two brain cells to rub together, anyone who's a pedophile abuser of children, all these people, yeah, they can become president of the United States, but people who don't get into that stuff, where are they? You know, there's people, how many people are there in America now? Best part of 300 million. And there's some wonderful people in America. There's some intelligent people in America who would be here today if this was in America, who can see it. They don't become president of the United States. A handful of bloodline families become president. And my goodness, interbreeding, not necessarily a good thing. Uncle Ron. This guy was having problems in terms of bewilderment while he was president of the United States. It didn't bloody matter because he wasn't president. George Bush was. I think that we can find more intelligent people to be president of the United States. Then he was followed by this guy. It's like when you go, you get too close to it. Ooh, what do you think is going to be president? What do you think? What do you think? Who's going to be president? Do you think about that Kerry? Do you think about that Bush? Take a deep breath. Take a step back, look at it again. Ah, it's a piece of shit. Yes, that's all it is. Walk away. There we go. Child abuser, mass killer. Oh my goodness, he's got a CV, this guy. President of the United States, and he's got his Dumbo son there as well now. If anyone wants confirmation that the whole system of electing presidents, prime ministers come to that, is rigged, well, I give you my case, lock, stock, and barrel. Spot the brain cell? No. This is prophecy. H.L. Mencken, 1880 to 1956. As democracy is perfected, the office of president represents more and more closely the inner soul of the people. On some great and glorious day, the plain folks of the land will reach their heart's desire at last, and the White House will be adorned by a downright moron. Now that is prophecy. Whoa. How can it happen? Because it's rigged. This man is president of the United States. They tell me it's the most powerful office in the world. I laugh when they tell me, but they tell me that's what it is. There we go. Redefining the role of the United States from enablers to keep the peace to enablers to keep the peace from peacekeepers is going to be an assignment. It's your money. You paid for it. The war on terror involves Saddam Hussein because of the nature of Saddam Hussein, the history of Saddam Hussein, and his willingness to terrorize himself. Sorry, I've got Twitch going. Is our children learning? President of the United States, who has led the world so far into two wars with more on the agenda. And it doesn't matter who follows him, it's the same story, answerable to the same force, advancing the same agenda. We live in one party state masquerading as freedom and democracy. I give you my case for that in this country. Yeah, I heard from a very, very good source, as they say, in all the best places this week, very, very good, that he is definitely the chosen one, David Cameron, and that the health of Tony Blair is seriously worse than we're being told publicly, and he's being groomed to take over. And when he takes over, there will be no decipherable difference. The agenda goes on because these are puppets of the same force, whatever color their rosette may say. And all the time, we are being fed the movie version of reality so that we buy what they want us to believe, or we buy what they want us to believe. The prison with the bar bars, this is the whole basis of how the few control the many, is to keep the many, A, in ignorance of what is going on, and in ignorance of who they are and the nature of life itself, so that they operate throughout their lives in a fraction of possibility in terms of their potential to perceive and potential to create. As Oscar Wilde said, most people are other people. Their thoughts are someone else's opinions, their lives a mimicry, their passions a quotation. And that is summed up by a friend of mine who calls people repeaters. And this is the foundation of how the few control the many. They get them to repeat and parrot the official version of life. Doctors, they are repeaters. They are repeating what they were told to believe at medical school. Teachers, there are some very honorable exceptions, but a lot of them, not least because of the pressure from the system, are repeaters. They go through school, they're very good at exams, so they qualify for teacher training college. There they get told how to teach children and all the curriculum and stuff, and then they come into the classroom and they repeat it to the children who, if they accept it, become repeaters of the same information. Journalists. Well, I met one of them for a while, maybe one or two, but not too many. What I meet is reporters. And reporters is very close to repeaters, which is what they are. They are repeating the official version of events to the people to get them to believe it and then repeat it on so it becomes the accepted version of history. And when you don't repeat, when you refuse to repeat, when you want to speak your truth and see it your way, that's when you stand out. He's mad. He's dangerous. No, I'm not a repeater. And it's that mentality that creates the norms and the hive mind that allows the few to control the many, putting in potentially infinite beings and turning out sausage machine people programmed through repetition of a version of life that suits those in control. And it's kind of interesting, if you were sitting around a table and you said, right, now this is what we got to do, right? Somehow we got to take these children and we got to turn them out as adults so that they see the world the way we want them to see it. Now, how do we do that? Well, The best way, I don't think they'd have it like, but the best way is to take the children from their parents, about four, five, something like that, put them in school, bring them through. So we've got control of what they're being told kind of 5 days a week, right the way through their childhood, right into their teens, and then they'll turn out as adults in the way that we want them to be. That is what ideally they would want, and that is what they have achieved. We call it the education system. It is the indoctrination system. It doesn't have to be, it's the way it is. And that's what's brilliant about so many young people here today, because you've come through this system, you've gone through this indoctrination, and you're still bloody here, and that's fantastic. And more and people... And more people are waking up, because this is far more powerful than any indoctrination. Once we access it and stop allowing it to be suppressed, then you've got the media. God, all they are is repeaters, repeating the same thing all the time. And the greatest form of mind control is repetition. Keep telling them the same thing, and it becomes their perceived reality. What they want to stop through the education system, through the suppression of alternative views of reality, and through the way they control the mainstream media to report the official version of events virtually unquestioned, is they want to stop the process of connecting the dots. Because once they're connected, the whole shebang is in big trouble, because what's actually happening becomes an elephant in the living room. And then there's these people. I like this line at the bottom. Been bent over so long, they think it's standing up. These are the politicians all over the world who go through as lobby foddy and voting foddy, or fodder, I don't know what the bloody word is, I don't know, fodder, that'll do. Foddy, I've invented a word. Go through the lobby foddy. And what they're doing, because they're looking at their career, oh, well, I better not vote against the government because, oh, my God, I might not be a minister. Well, actually, looking at you, mate, that would be a very good thing. Go and vote against the government, please. And the few, and how many people have come out of the Blair cabinet and said, we don't even have cabinet government now. Never mind, you know, parliamentary government. It's diktat from a tiny clique, and that's it. And the lobby foddy, my thing's gone, the lobby fodder goes through and votes these things into law, when if they stood up and opened their minds, these things wouldn't get through. So we have this great amalgamation of different people within what we call society and the authorities, who are pressuring to people to keep their mouths shut, keep their head down, and just make sure that they just go with what's the norm, and they don't get involved in challenging what they're being told. And this keep quiet, keep your head down, and everything will be all right goes right the way through society. It goes through journalism. It goes through the teaching profession. It goes through politicians. And they're all looking at their interest rather than the interest of society as a whole. And the reason they want this is summed up by Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propaganda minister. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and/or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth becomes the greatest enemy of the state. And the reason we have, since 9/11, and since the London bombings, we have had this explosion of the Orwellian state is because of this. The truth is the enemy of the state, therefore we must suppress the truth in every way we can. And that's what it's all about in terms of the changes in society that we've been facing. They want to hold us symbolically in this tiny little eggshell where we only see the world the way that they want us to see it, so we'll stay in the box and be a piece of cake to manipulate. And so we are being attacked on endless different levels, which I'll come to keep us in that box and to keep the mind shut. You know, the worst thing you want if you want to run a dictatorship is an informed, sharp-thinking, open-minded population. So everything that is done is to suppress that situation so the people become the opposite. As Mencken said again, the most dangerous man to any government is the man who is able to think things out for himself. Almost inevitably, he comes to the conclusion that the government he lives under is dishonest, insane, and intolerable. And that's the truth that the suppression is designed to keep from us, but not from the people here today. We live in a world where there's two stories running side by side. One's job is to hide the other. There's the movie, as I call it. This is the version of events that we get through the mainstream media and the official authorities in general. This tells us that some guy in a cave in Afghanistan with a carrier pigeon or something orchestrated 9/11, and that 19 hijackers that couldn't fly a paper plane hijacked four jumbo jets. Yeah, makes sense to me. This is the movie. Oh, it's them London bombers. Oh, yeah, they did it. Oh, we got to stop this now. Oh, we got to have this now. Oh, we've got to protect the people. The secret agenda is hiding behind that. The secret agenda, which is to create a global version of Nazi Germany and then some, of imposition, of constant surveillance, of microchipped people, and of centralization of power on a scale the world in known history has never seen. I've noticed this, was walking around London yesterday. The world is controlled, at least on one level, by men in dark suits overwhelmingly, and in this country anyway, their will is imposed by people in luminous jackets. Are these luminous jackets? Can they breed? Can they breed these jackets? Eh? I'm seeing them everywhere, you know, they're like rabbits, these jackets. Everyone wants one. Authority, I'm from security. And, yeah, and? What? Does that mean something? I know in America, excuse me, sir, that's the opening one. Excuse me, sir, I'm from security. Please for you, darling. But of course, even the dark suits, as we'll get to, are merely pawns in a game and pawns of a force that the public never see. And we are being pressured to go down the channel like laboratory mice and laboratory rats, go down the channel that's desired. So what they do, just as they do with these rats and mice in laboratory mazes, they'll shock them if they go down a certain road, they'll shock them if they go down this road, and they want them to go down this road. And eventually, when they've been shocked enough times, symbolic of society, you can't do this, these are the consequences of doing that, in the end, what the rats and mice do, without being shocked, turn the electricity off now, it's happened enough times, they'll go down the channel required without any pressure whatsoever, because they've reached that point of acquiescence to the system. And that's what they want to turn us into. That's why there's cameras everywhere, not just to see where everyone is, although that's one level of it, but to constantly say, you can't go here, we're watching you, we're watching you, we're watching you. And in the end, you become like the mouse, doesn't want to be shocked anymore, and they acquiesce. Well, some people acquiesce. I'll go to my next dimension, not acquiescing, I'll tell you that. Now, Albert Pike, very, very major member of the Illuminati, the illuminated ones, illuminated into knowledge they keep from the rest of us, but not today. He said this in a book called Morals and Dogma, is its short title. Fictions are necessary to the people, and the truth becomes deadly to those who are not strong enough to contemplate it in all its brilliance. In fact, what can there be in common between the vile multitude, that's how we're seen, and sublime wisdom? The truth must be kept secret, and the masses need a teaching proportioned to their imperfect reason. Now, if there's anyone here today, I doubt if there is, but if there's anyone here today, and certainly there are millions and millions out there who say, well, if all this was true, mate, we'd know about it. Well, when you see the way the system works, like hell we would. That's not the idea. The idea is to get us to see in these myopic, tunnel vision ways that war is peace. Go, USA! We have got to go into Iraq. We have got to go into Afghanistan. These buggers ain't going anywhere. It's like Bush. We will prevail. We will not concede. We are watching the friggin' sport, darling, on the White House telly. We send other buggers to do that. If Bush had been on the front line in Iraq when the first bullet was fired, he'd have been under a bed in Houston when the second bugger went off. And he's talking about, we. No, no, we'll send other people to do that. Voltaire, those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. And we have. Shock and freaking awe. We've got to go in and bomb everyone because there's weapons of mass destruction. Make you believe absurdities, they can make you believe atrocities. We've got to go into Afghanistan. We've got to do this. We've got to do that because Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda were responsible for 9/11. Believe absurdities, commit atrocities. Away it goes. And that's why I wrote in my website, on the day that Bush was inaugurated for the first time, don't be surprised if the United States finds itself in another manipulated war during this administration. You will see monsters created in the public mind to justify such action. It took months. And all justified by this day, which after the first break, I'm going to get into in some detail, among many other things, what's happening today. And in The Biggest Secret in 1998, I wrote, the plan is to engineer events, real and staged, that will create enormous fear in the countdown to 2012. Very important year to the Illuminati to get this whole Orwellian state in place. This includes a plan to start a third world war, either by stimulating the Muslim world into a holy war against the West, or by using China to cause global conflict, maybe both. Well, it is maybe both. It is maybe both, because the China card is being prepared all the time. As Orwell said in 1984, that so prophetic book, which was not written from imagination. This man was heavily involved in politics, deeply involved in politics in this country. There's no way he was that accurate by accident. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. That is the perception they want of the world they want to create for everyone. That is the world that we are in the process of ensuring does not happen.
You are listening to a Documentally podcast. So there you have it, a small installment from quite a long lecture. The song you heard at the beginning was Sympathy for David Icke by Mike Scott of Waterboys fame. I just thought it quite appropriate. If you'd like to hear any more, I can always edit and organise another podcast or another couple of podcasts, but only if you're interested. Please let me know. You can either email me podcast@documentally.com. You can leave a comment, which is always appreciated, on the blog. Or you can Skype me at documentally. So let me know if you want to hear any more from the David Icke lectures. Until next time, thank you very much for listening. And I shall speak at you again soon. Bye-bye.
Hello?
The anti-Bush press makes terrorist
their interests are not your interests. Their truth is not your truth. The corporations have their media. Now we have ours. The Progressive Podcast Network.
Welcome to Wake Up AM. Wake
Up America. You're listening to Dr. Podcast.
Now we are the media. Listen to your media.
To respect democracy.com.
Take your country back.
Of the Progressive
Go to
podcast.
newmediarevolution.org.
Brand new Progressive Podcast.
The Progressive Podcast Network.
NewMediaRevolution.org.
Why, oh, why didn't I take the blue pill?